Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Who's Who in African America on that Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, DJ Gatsby. Mr. Growing and Sexy, also known in some circles as the voice of Rebel Lit. Yeah, I hear that music in the background. Yeah, the song was actually written by my guest today, Mr. George Naeem Cash. I don't know if you heard that music or not, but we don't really need that to get it in. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Who's Who in African American Lit. I'm your host, DJ Gatsby, and my guest is none other than first-time author, music composer, and singer, Mr. George Naeem Cash. My brother, you with me?
I am definitely in the building, Gatsby, my brother, and I am happy and honored to be here as usual.
Well,
I forgot about that track, by the way. Thanks for pointing that. What we do, we composed that like 3 years ago, right?
Yeah, you actually composed that for me when I was doing my TV show down in D.C., the talk show with DJ Gatsby, and you were kind enough to submit that song as a theme song for the show, and thank you for that, my brother.
Well, thank you for picking that, because I know you had a wide selection of music you could have used, and I definitely wanted your listening audience to know a little bit more about me. That music is definitely part of my arsenal.
Yeah, we're going to get into your music in just a minute, man. But once again, man, congratulations on the release of your book, The Good, The Bad. I've Earned It All. For those who don't know, it's the autobiography of Mr. George Cash, story of his life, and a true story. And it was just released on May 5th. I think the official date was May 5th. It came out a couple of weeks earlier, actually. But the book is actually on sale at Amazon, and paperback, and Kindle. And it's doing very well, by the way. Now, we're in New York. My brother came to New York to promote his book. We did a couple of appearances, some book signings at Palisades Mall. We actually was in Spring Valley at the Central Park, where everybody knows that is, on the hill section of Spring Valley. Great response from the book, Cash, man. Tell me just how you feel about, you know, the whole situation here.
Well, big up to New York. It's always going to be my home base. That's where I'm from. I just relocated for, you know, economic reasons. But not to be in New York. I'm very
pleased. Yeah, well, once again, congratulations. And thanks to everybody who actually bought the book. You know, he's actually from New York, and, you know, you got definitely a warm, warm reception, man, at the book signing that we did at the Atlas Entertainment book spot at the Palisades Center Mall, and again at the other signing that we did. We're going to get right into it, man. This book, as I mentioned earlier, is a true story based on your life. Tell us a little bit about why you actually decided to write this book.
That's the interesting thing, Gatsby. I didn't decide, per se, to write a book. Like you said earlier, I'm a composer, so I'm always working on music. And like any musician out listening, you know you can get writer's block at any time. You try to force you. So I was at my other computer and just started writing about myself, just to divert myself, divert my thoughts from music. And it just kind of developed and it followed me along for a couple of years while I was putting the book together and asking where I am in the book. And I would like to take almost like 6 to 8 months and would type words. Every time I would type, I would always read the paragraph, but fact that it is a true story. I don't have to search for material to make up things. It just flows right out of me. So, last year, I think emergency contacting it was like pretty much, I thought I have a book because it's only half my life. I only know it's 27 years old. And that's just a prelude we've been doing for two is already been worked on. So that's pretty much the inception of the book.
All right. Well, you ladies and gentlemen just heard that book, too, is in the works. He's currently writing that book and hopefully be done sometime later this year. Once again, it's Who's Who in African American Lit, Blog Talk Radio. Your host, DJ Gatsby. We got the one and only author, singer, and composer, George Naeem Cash, in the building. He's the author of The Good and the Bad. I've Earned It All. Cash, we got a call here calling from the 405 area code. I don't know if they're just listening or they actually want to speak. So call it. You're calling from 405. What's your name?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Can you speak up, my sister?
Tina, I'm just going to listen.
Oh, you just listening, Tina? Well, I'm very honored to have you on the air with us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, wonderful. I'm just very interested in hearing more about Mr. Cash and everything that you're doing. So I'm just going to listen in and, you know, see how it's going.
I definitely appreciate it. I'll tell our listeners where you hail from. What part of the country are you in?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm asking you where you live.
I'm in Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma. Well, I'm glad that I'm beginning that base out. I'm just going to have to make my way to the Midwest. I really appreciate you calling in, and thank you very much for following what I'm doing with my career.
No problem.
All right, big shout to Tina from OKC. And the bell, and she's calling in to talk to my brother, Nyan Cash. Hey, Cash, we're going to get back to the book real quick. I'm going to briefly read the synopsis, the editorial review for the book. It says, Jordan Nyan Cash wrote his book mainly during his jail bids at some of New York State's most notorious penitentiaries. It follows his life from childhood to adulthood and all of the trials and tribulations he survived. As a teenager, he had a promising singing career in a boy band called Brothers and Friends. He was signed to a record deal by Sylvia Robinson and All Platinum Records out of New Jersey. But sadly, his recording career came to an end before his first album was ever released. He subsequently turned to a life of crime that had him wanted in 13 states and on the run from the FBI. The good and the bad of the story that this young man felt he had to share in hopes that his experience could possibly sway the youth of today from a life of crime. But ultimately, he wants to redeem himself and change the perception of himself by his family, his friends, and others who knew him back before he turned to a life of crime. All right, now we're going to not tell the whole story of the book because we want you guys to read it. But let's start when you're a teenager in that singing group called Brothers and Friends. Who were some of the other people who were in that group, and how did you guys actually get that group started?
Okay, now, the group's name was really ridiculous because back in those days, I didn't come up with what the group was called, but my generation, to this day, I don't know what that was supposed to be. But when we signed the record contract, they didn't like that name, and they decided they wanted to change it. And the dynamics of it was actually the motivation for my brother, Michael, and two other brothers, Curtis Hamilton. They were our friends. They were also brothers, so naturally, it seemed logical to me now, but it just seemed very creative when our record producer, Michael Burton, came up with that name. So the Brothers and Friends came from us actually being brothers and friends. And we were doing local shows and that kind of thing, and one night we won first place at a talent contest, and instead of getting a prize, the gentleman that wanted to take us as a group, and he announced going for with All Platinum Records. A lot of the people definitely don't recognize the name All Platinum Records, but they later on became Sugar Hill Records. They were related to Sylvia Robinson has a number one hit called Solo Talk, and Michael Burton wrote it. They had other artists who became Raekwon and Brown later on. So there was really some good people there, and that's the story behind the name and the guys in the book.
All right. Well, listen, man. I know you mentioned how disappointed you were that group did not release their album. You guys had the album finished. I understand you had an album cover and then had a tour set up as almost radio interviews. We're not going to talk too more about that, ladies and gentlemen. You have to read the book to find out the specifics about that record deal. Now, after that, in the book, you mentioned that you turned to a life of crime. Tell us a bit about how that happened and how that changed your life forever.
Well, I feel like we were to talk to any teenagers today, and they're looking for something that they believe is going to happen and it doesn't happen. We're too immature to deal with the disappointment, and that's what I was because I was in high school. Everybody in my class was expecting big things. Just a devastating blow. I didn't go direct to crime per se, but there is a I rub up against things. I try to go to college. I try to pacify myself and distract myself by going to community college. I just couldn't get the fact that the album was so close to being a reality. It just made me angry over the years. So I slowly but surely bubbled over like a boiling pot, and it just reached its point. And I just needed to do something to shut the voices off in my head about not having that career launched, and that's what turned me.
Okay. Well, on your book cover, on the back, in your own words, you say a little bit about the book, and I'm going to read quickly from that back cover of the book, where you said that, you know, early on in your teens or 20s, you turned to a life of crime, which included drug trafficking, gun running, and bank robbery. You talk about prison life, you know, getting arrested and going to jail, and you talk about, you know, the journey that you went through. Now, the other interesting aspect of the story in your life was a bank robbery. I don't want to get too much in that because we want people to read the book, but as a result of that bank robbery, how did your life change then? Because you do the bank robbery, you get arrested, and you're sentenced to prison. How does your life change as a result of that prison time to the time you come home?
Great question, because I can say with absolute certainty, and the fact that I lived it, prison changed. I had never been arrested in my life, so I stepped up at the top of the echelon. Bank robbery put me in hands of maximum security prison, and that did no joke. They came people killing on me, who tried to hurt me, and that just changed. And it was just an absolute change when you just meant to be in a situation. I thank God that I was able to weather it through, but I also have to admit, I got to do the book. It took me on a whole other book. It made me hard. It made me old. It made me daring. So it was just a box change. That's what actually experienced. So you either pay to be there or you man up and you handle your grief. I took the latter.
All right. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's DJ Gatsby, Who's Who, an African American Lit Blog Talk radio show. We're here with my personal friend and an author who I published. For those who don't know, I'm DJ Gatsby, president and CEO of WB Media Group, and also president of WBMG Publishing. George Nyan Cash is the third author that I signed to my publishing company. He's the first man that I signed, and this is actually his first book. So we're going to be right back. We'll take a quick break. We got to pay some bills here. We got a message from Virtual Last Wishes and Julia Nedrick. We'll be right back in just a moment.
Have you ever lost a loved one, had to cope with handling their affairs, found yourself on a fact-finding mission not knowing where to begin? Help your family by securing your important information in a safe, convenient, internet-based lockbox. Provide safe storage for bereavement details, policies, and documents, and give clear direction if unable to speak for yourself. Visit www.virtuallastwishes.com or call 1-877-389-0099.
And the applause that's coming. Once again, DJ Gatsby, we had to take a quick break, pay a few bills. You know, we got to keep the show on the road. Big shout out to my sponsor, Julia Nedrick, and everybody at Virtual Last Wishes. You can get more information about Virtual Last Wishes at virtuallastwishes.com. And we're back with my guest, George Nyan Cash. Nyan, man, you're back in New York on a book tour. You've been a couple of places, did a couple of things, man. How has you know, how's the trip back to New York, man, now that your book is out, man? You know, what's the reception you've got from family and friends, man? How has this whole experience manifested itself while you're here in New York?
Well, I always love coming to New York because it's where I'm from. But to come back like this with a book in hand, your dream, and realize I feel really great at the reception I got, and I was impressed with some of the guys that I knew back in the day, they just stepped right up and bought the book, and I was, I'm not saying that I'm doing a little bit more myself. I read a lot when I was in prison, but I'm on the outside, I'm not an avid reader. The fact that I got support from people that I've known all my life is a big coup, and I am very hyped up and stoked about it. I'm very happy.
Yeah, well, congratulations, man. Again, as you know, I'm from New York as well. Me and George Cash actually grew up in Spring Valley, New York, known each other since elementary school, and used to hang out after school programs at North Main Street School playing dodgeball with a lot of the brothers here from New York. Big shout out to Spring Valley, New York, man. I mean,
yeah,
Valley.
Good, y'all.
Yeah, we grew up there as a Rockin' County, New York, and a lot of good times, man, have been had there. Now, you mentioned in the book about, you know, some of the crimes you did and your time in the penitentiary. What do you got to say, man, to those young people out here, man, that are actually still living a life of crime, drug dealing, robberies, gunplay? What advice would you give to your young brothers out here today, man?
I'm glad you set me up for that question, because I've had an epiphany or light bulb turned on something, because I am a spiritual person, and I believe now that I'm written for a higher purpose. Other than me, my story. When we were actually one of the signings at Holiday Mall, were quite a few people that brought their young children with them, or teenage boys or whatever. And it just came to me, what I can say to them. You all know that you can tell a young person do this or don't do that, because that's just not the way they're going to receive it. So instead, what I choose to do is tell them that I'm not trying to stop them. If they think they're but what I can tell them the absolute truth about how it went when I did it. And whatever they're doing, I guarantee you, I've judged it. I can speak with a certain amount of authority that, you know, ratio and proportion dictates. The more you do it, the more you increase the chances for a thing to happen. It's not going to be good. But if I can get to some of the schools and go to some of the detention centers and share what an experience, I absolutely am happy that I do have another direction I can use the book for. So that was an excellent question, guys.
Yeah, well, like I was at the Palisades Mall, and I saw you actually I saw you speaking to some young brothers at the African American Festival that was held at NIAG recently. We did a book signing there. You were there. You spoke to a couple of young brothers there about turning their lives around and staying on the right side of the law. And I applaud you for doing that, man. Not enough brothers who've been through the penitentiary, who've lived a life of crime, take the time out to try to mentor or speak to at-risk youth about, you know, pitfalls of that life. Now, I know you are very passionate about your story, and there's a lot of people that you thank and acknowledge in your book. What would you like to say to some of those people? I know your mom, you have some other close people. You know, say a few words, man, about those people and how they were instrumental in helping you, go through this process.
Well, like everybody will do, my first thanks is to God for keeping me alive. But I naturally was a mother and father, because with them I wouldn't be in myself. And I am sorry that my dad passed away so many years ago, and he didn't get to see what I could do and how I turn my life around. But my family absolutely supports what I'm doing, because they know that I have a good head on my shoulders, and they wasn't really trying to understand me when I was running Renegade. But, as I got running life, they gave me a great day. But when it comes to certain people, like other artists, I've always been into music, and I mentioned a few people that are very important in the book, like, for instance, Eleanor Charles. She family college here in the town where we come from. And she made it possible to meet Michael Jackson and his whole family. during a concert that they came to in New York. Kind of changed around as well, because music has always been in it. People like John Calvin, people who sit on the floor in the hallway. I have to admit it. Now he's a big time recording artist with a great album out, and he's done bands for TV shows. He's been part of the band and all of that kind of thing. Yeah. People like Curtis Hamilton, Brandon Bush, who you know pretty well, other artists like Linda Jones, Homeless Brown, whatnot. All of these people played a very serious part to let me know my life is not always really negative. I've had so many things influences in my life, so I'm glad that I was able to break it all down and put it in quotes.
Yo, yeah, definitely big shout out to all those people that you just mentioned, man. Very influential people in your life, man. I know you're very close to your family, your sons, your daughters. You got a new grandbaby. What's been the response, man, from your kids, man, your daughters and your sons, man, you know, to the new book, man?
I was out in the town the other evening, and my youngest son walked behind me, and I was like, I feel the cat standing behind me. He surprised me by saying that out of the book building, and when he let me read it, and that kind of thing. So, and I've been getting some support from my brothers. I have younger brothers. So people are, my family is like, so they can't believe that I did this. They know I'm capable of a lot of things, but I sat down and wrote a book. I mean, when I share with them how it took me actually to complete, they understand that my writing process wasn't geared towards it, but now they just see some positive things in my future. Something about being an author of a book that I think people look at differently. And I've been getting some of that. Some of it is, most of it is positive, and there's some negative, but I love the journey that I'm on right now, and I have you ask me to thank for that. I wouldn't even have, in the world would have never known that I was writing this. I was just doing it as a distraction.
I'm proud of you for writing the book too, man. As you know, I'm in the book business, and I do a lot of promotions, and again, I published a couple of books, a children's book as well as a romance novel. So big shout out to Madeline Namro, who wrote the children's book, all of my favorite stories. And also a big shout to your other stable mate, Miss Andrea Yvette, a.k.a. Andrea Holman, who wrote Lounge Time Stories.
Mm-hmm.
We only got a few minutes left, man. What I want to talk about, other than part two of the book, which I know is kind of early to be talking about, you know, what are the things, some of the things you're planning to do in the future, and what can some of your fans and friends look forward to you in the future, man?
Well, just briefly about the next book, I'm going to be a lot more narrative in my writing this time. I'm going to make it seem like her characters get film and have everybody forbade them. I'm putting in quotations and things that I don't remember that. I've learned a lot of writing journey. I made a lot of mistakes when I was writing, and you broke my eyes for a lot of the things that you have to pay attention to detail. And I've also talked to artists like Madeline, Monica, and also Andre Yvette. They gave me some tips about how to focus when you write. So I'm going to be a lot more professional about my delivery. And the story, this is interesting in part two, because I was just at the beginning of my foolishness with this book.
We got a couple of reviews up on Amazon about the book, some good, some bad, but you expect that as a first-time author. Who are some of the authors that you admire or their work? Because I know you mentioned Monica Mabisot, great friend of mine. Big shout to Monica and her husband, Reggie, down in the D.C. area. But real quickly, man, who are some of the authors? I know you're an avid reader, you're a movie buff. Who are some of the authors that you admire, man, that you've read?
I am mainly a movie buff. I said earlier, I just was reading in prison, and my taste is eclectic. I like Alfred Hitchcock. I like Patterson.
James Patterson.
I love him. And Stephen King. This is the kind of thing that shows me how storytelling is supposed to be done. So I will be studying those gentlemen, but those are the kind of books that I like. Things that can turn into movies and that kind of thing. I'm writing nonfiction right now, but I can feel it in me. I will have my head screenplay, writing, and things like that, and more books. Yeah, absolutely.
No, that's fantastic, man. That was my next question. This is a story of your life. It's going to be a 3-part trilogy. We're planning it so far. So the book is actually part one. Now, you mentioned writing fiction. Is a fiction story in your future? Is that something that you would like to do, before you give up this writing career?
Absolutely. I heard a caller on your show last week that called in when
Frazier Boy, that's right.
His friend that called in said that they do fiction, but it's all based on reality.
Yes.
I have 1,000 stories just like everybody else. I'm also a songwriter, so my vocabulary is just me in writing. So I can write forever. So fiction, just telling a story based on something that I know from life experiences. I feel like it's not me. Absolutely.
Yeah, I see you get a lot of books. So after you finish telling this good and the bad trilogy, you're looking forward to doing a fiction book. Now, let me get back to the music, man. I know music is your first love. I know you have a home studio at your home in South Carolina. You do a lot of recording, a lot of your music and a lot of the songs that you've done, you've actually put up on YouTube. What's next for you in the music career, man? What's next for you in your music, man?
I wouldn't exactly say I'm waiting for a break. That's why I'm always recording. I put together a nice little studio, as you mentioned, in my home in South Carolina. But I'm always writing music. I'm always recording music. I'm always standing with the TV and it's new. And I just look at the screen to see if I can put a composition with what I'm seeing. So my hunger, love for music that God gave me, one of the gifts that he gave me, I am going to always be about that music. And I'm hoping that this book will also launch my music career in a way that I can be in-house songwriter for one of the companies. It's just a matter of them learning that I'm on my plan. They just don't know about me, but I'm coming.
Yeah, I know you got tons and tons of songs, man. You have spoke to me numerous times about producing a CD and actually releasing the CD of some of your favorite tracks, man. How serious are you about that, man? I told you, I do book publishing, but, I can always go into the music publishing as well. You still have dreams or plans to release that CD for your fans?
I don't want to sound like I'm greedy for the media, but it just so happens that I am working on a release for late this summer. And with your help, that's done, because I have so many tracks now. Some of them are, but some of them are a lot of pretty interesting instrumentals, and I would love to hear what I can do as far as singing and composing, and just a story that I tell in some of my songs.
All right, so to all those music fans out there who know George's name cast mainly from his music over the years, he actually is planning on releasing that CD and sharing some of this music as well as his book. Man, we almost running out. Once again, DJ Gatke, who's doing African American Lit, with my guest here, author, first-time author and singer George Nyame Cash. Yo, Nyame, before we go, man, any last words, man, shout-outs or anything you want to say before we shut it down?
Well, I'd like to thank the lady from Oklahoma City, Tina, for calling in. Anybody else that's out there listening, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for your support, and I will continue to do my best. That's my promise to you.
All right, once again, now before we go, man, you promised you're going to be in the New York area for a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
We're looking to possibly do a release party or something like this in New York, man. Or you said you had plans to do a book signing in South Carolina, man. So big shout out to everybody down the Dalton, Primetime, Bird, the whole Primetime team down there. Yeah. Big shout out to everybody down there, your team. Well, once again, ladies and gentlemen, it's DJ Gatke. My guest today was George Nyame Cash. Make sure you go and check out that book, The Good and the Bad. I've Earned It All. It's available on Kindle and paperback at Amazon.com. And peace. Yo, Cash, man, I'm going to go out with your song, Come Join. And
thank
you, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to join us next week when my guest will be Cotton Campbell, that poet, one of your favorite sex cottons.
I love her.
Yeah, she's out of Chicago. She'll be joining us next week. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Tina, thanks for calling in. Cash, congratulations. Much success going into the future, man.
Thank you, everybody.
All right, we out, y'all. Peace. Hey.
Well,